Morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 90, Psalm 90. We'll look at the passage there in just a moment. How important is it to be correct? How important is it to be correct? There's a story about a little boy who came home from school one day, and he had an award from his teacher. And the father was just so happy he got that award, to think that his son had been honored in this way. So he asked the boy why he got the reward. And the boy said, the teacher in class asked how many legs an ostrich has. I said, right, ostrich has. And I said, three. But the father said, an ostrich has two legs. Why were you rewarded if you gave the wrong answer? He said, the rest of the class said four legs. So I got the reward because I was the closest to the right answer. Is that happening a lot today? Are people being rewarded or recognized because they are close to the right answer and not actually having the right answer? Now, let's take that analogy to how we live our lives today for God. Does God want us to be close, or does God want us to be following His word? Many people today believe, as long as I'm close, you know, it's okay. Reading some numbers recently, I read some articles from some people who write in Africa, and I was truly amazed at the incredible writing that I read as far as their knowledge of God's word and application of it. And he was writing this kind of, I guess, a journal, and he encourages anybody who has questions or disagrees with something that is taught to write, and let's examine it. Let's examine it and find out what the Bible says. Is that the right attitude to have? Yes, it is. Sometimes people just want to argue about things or defend their position, but I like his attitude. If you don't understand something or disagree with something we say, please write us, let us know. And let's look at it together to find out what the word is. So again, when it comes to matters of truth, we need to follow what? We need to follow God's word. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 8. We'll go back to Psalms in just a minute. John chapter 8. And there in verse 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So notice here what he tells them. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And if you abide in his word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that is what is so important today. Last week, a question was asked about two words. And I thought it was very important because I didn't know the answer. And I'll ask you this question. What's the difference between sick and ill? And it's a good question. Because oftentimes when I will pray for those who are sick or ill. And when the question was asked me, I didn't really know how to answer the question. I've heard that phrase used so many times, those who are sick or ill. Does anybody here know the difference between sick or ill? I even asked my boss, and we're absolutely sure. So I looked it up, and there is a difference. Both ill and sick describe a state of not being in good health, but they carry slightly different connotations. ill is usually a more serious long-term health condition. Sick, on the other hand, can be used for something that's kind of temporary, like feeling nauseous or having a cold. Further, I studied this, and the British usage of the word sick usually means somebody who's throwing up. Okay, that's sick there. So there is a difference between the word sick and ill, however difficult it might be to understand. But why is this so important? It's important to understand the words that we use. Is that not a true statement? There's many good examples in God's words. One of them is predetermination. You have been predetermined for something. That word has a very important meaning, and many people will misuse what it means. Now let's turn to Psalms 90. There's a man whose friend occasionally suggested that he should not buy any green bananas. And he said that was his way of reminding him that he was really getting old. Thank you, none of you, for asking me or telling me that my green to me. So there are warnings in God's word about the brevity of life. Are we all going to live forever? No, we are not. In Psalm 90, in verse 10, it says the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it will soon cut off and we fly away. So here we have a reminder about the brevity of this life. It's for a short time. Now turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 4, and we can look at a prayer here by David, and some things it reminds us here about life. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. We're just here for a short time. Life is brief. Job also described his days. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 7. Job, chapter 7. In verses 6 and 7. As we consider this, the brevity of life, again, every day we make choices about how we're going to live our life. We're going to make good choices or we're going to make bad choices. But we're going to make choices. In the book of Job, chapter 7, verse 6, he says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember, my life is a breath. My eye will never see good. Again, what's to remind us? The brevity of life, how brief it is. The New Testament also talks about this. Turn to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. In verse 13. And here we see, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go for such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. What are they doing? They're making plans. Long-term plans. Verse 14, for whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, a little time, and then it vanishes away. So here, James is reminding us, even in making those plans, we need to keep in mind that life is what? It's short. We don't know how much longer we have to live. Verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Again, talking about the brevity of life. One person, Henry Longfellow, said this, the young may die, but the old must. The young may die, but the old must. And then a preacher kind of adapted that or modified it. He said, the old must die, but the young may. That's a true statement. So that's a way of reminding us that we have no promise of what? No promise of tomorrow. that we're going to live till tomorrow. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Because, again, it comes to decisions that we make. And one of the most important decisions that we make is whether or not we are going to become a child of God. That's one of the most important decisions, if not the most important decision you're going to make. Am I going to be in the presence of God forever when I depart this life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not the day after, but now is the time. And there's something else that we need to consider too. As far as this earth is concerned, the Bible talks about or says that we are in the last days. There's no promise of a future life beyond this present to people. No promise of a future life on earth. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 2. Now this has been true ever since Jesus ascended to heaven and he ushered in the gospel age. Because shortly after he ascended to heaven, we have what's called the day of Pentecost. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached for the first time. In John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus said this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So here we have this promise from our Lord. What's he going to do? He's preparing a place. He's going to come that we can be in the same place that he is. That's what the Lord has promised to us. Now Paul, he often wrote in such a way that people who might have read his writings were thinking, it's going to come right now. It's coming soon, within our lifetime. Let's take a look at some of the things he says. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. Because some believe that it was going to happen, or some even believe that it had already taken place. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says this, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." So when some heard that or read that, they might have said, okay, remain alive when the Lord comes. It might be happening right now. It's going to happen soon. And we can see that many believed it was going to happen soon. And the things and decisions that they made. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because he describes this day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." So what he's telling them is, you had better be prepared. This is going to happen. The Lord is coming again. Turn now to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. His words, the way he expressed it, was so urgent in trying to encourage them to make sure that they're prepared for his coming. Some were just shaken about it. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if for us, as though the day of Christ has come." So he's trying to console them. Don't be shaken in your mind. Don't be troubled, either by spirit or by word and our letter. Now, it's possible this, too. Now, think about this. This came up in our class just a bit. Because our understanding of what the Bible teaches, if we want to do what God wants us to do, it's important to understand every word that is given to us. A good example of this is the idea that a person is born into this world with what? With sin. The concept of original sin. Now again, is the concept of original sin found in the Bible? No, it's not. It is not. And this is interesting, because the Bible tells us that a father cannot inherit the sin of his son, and the son cannot inherit the sin of the father. We are all responsible for our own actions. We are all responsible for our own actions. And this is so important. So again, understanding what the words mean and what they teach are very, very important to each and every one of us. Now, as we continue to look at what it teaches us here, let's see. Despite this idea that Jesus is coming again, despite this idea that I should not be shaken in mind, I need to make sure I'm very careful about everything I do in this life. I don't buy green bananas a whole lot. I don't do that. But I don't do it because I think I'm going to die. I don't buy them because I don't like green bananas. I wait till they're the right kind of color. Let's turn now to Titus chapter 2. Because whether we're young or whether we're old, we need to live our lives in such a way that we are prepared when Jesus comes again. Each of us should be looking forward to that day. So let me ask you this question. Are you looking forward to Jesus coming back again soon? Are you looking forward to that day? In Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." And then he tells us why. Why should we live that way, soberly, godly, and in this present age? He tells us in verse 13, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people." So that's why we're looking forward to it. Because he is our salvation. Now notice the last part of verse 14. His own special people, and then he kind of defines them, zealous for good works. And that's exactly what each of us needs to do. So again, as we live this life, we don't know how long we have. It can be brief, it could be a long time. We need to live it in such a way that we're always prepared to meet the Lord. Something else I'd like us to consider is, how do people think about you? How do people think about you? And I heard an interesting analogy this morning. Wherever you go, are people happy to see you? Wherever you go. Or are they happy whenever you go? Think about that. That made me think. All right, are people happy wherever you go? Or are they happy whenever you go? Now, you might know some people, doesn't matter, you are happy to see them all the time. But there might be others that kind of irritate you, get on your nerves, and you're kind of relaxed and more relieved whenever they go. What kind of person are you? Particularly when it comes to spiritual things. And one last thought I'd like us to think about this morning is the idea of prayer. How often do you pray? How often do you pray? You know, something very difficult or tragic might happen to you in your life. Again, another analogy, if you are praying, how often should we pray? Without ceasing, yes? So if little things happen and you turn to God and you're thankful, I thank you, God. You're praying to God all the time whenever kind of little things kind of happen. You're praying to God all the time. So when something really hard happens, what are you going to do? You're going to pray. I heard the expression, get on your knees, get on your knees. So again, how we live our lives every day, our prayer, our looking at God's word, making those right decisions for the small things that might happen. When the big thing, are big things going to happen? Yeah, they're going to happen. It's happened to some of us already. You lose a loved one, a close family member, someone you love very much. Something happens to them. You will be prepared if you do what every day. You're coming to God every day in prayer, and you're in God's word every day. You'll be prepared. So the lesson is yours this morning. Again, we talked a little bit about the brevity of life, how short it is, and that we need to be prepared by making all the right kinds of decisions in our lives. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to do so. If you're here, need to pray for this congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.